Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato, who is out in New York after the Thunder's 126-103 win over the New York Knicks. Joe, this kind of went how it should have gone. Thunder on the road, good road team, playing the Knicks, bad team. And they had a pretty solid win.
Yeah, pretty much my first and only takeaway is that the Knicks are very, very bad. And that's not news to anyone, but you're right. The Thunder are good on the road. They didn't play great in Detroit, no. But they were good down the stretch. Today, I thought they got off to a kind of a very sluggish start
in that first quarter.
And it's like... Well, maybe everyone had a good time in New York last night, but then it's like, then they realized how much better they were, and it really wasn't a game after that because the Knicks have trouble shooting the ball.
You can say that again. I mean, it was wild how close the game was for that first quarter, considering the Knicks didn't make a single three. For the whole first half, they didn't make it three.
In the first half, yeah. I mean, it was kind of comical. Like, everyone's like groaning every time the Knicks miss a three. I think they were 0-for-8 maybe in that first half.
For sure.
They didn't make a three until RJ Barrett. And it was like midway through the third quarter. So it took a long time. And then they finished. I mean, the final number is not pretty at all. The Knicks finished 4-of-24 from three. That's 17%, while the Thunder shot 39% from three, 12 of 31. So the Thunder won this game by 23 points, and basically that difference is the difference in the three-pointers. Like, it was – that's – both teams shot the ball similarly from two. It was just the difference in the threes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and then you look at Thunder – also won in a bunch of other statistical categories. Notably not rebounding. The Knicks out-rebounded the Thunder 48-38. That's kind of been a theme from the Thunder recently. But assists 26-19, helped by the Chris Paul's 12 assists, which is tied for a season high. So, you know, you're going to end up with a large team number when he's putting up those types of assist numbers. Turnovers, Thunder had 4, the Knicks had 12, and, you know, down the line, free throws, 3-point, field goal percentage. Thunder was on top for all of those. Fast break points, 9-4, second chance points, 23-12.
But just beating down the Knicks.
The Knicks did edge them out in points of the paint, though, which was actually pretty lopsided. Yeah, exactly. Pretty lopsided to start the game out. The Knicks at one point had 14 points in the paint, and the Thunder only had 6. But then the Thunder came back and evened it out. And I guess if you're not scoring any of your points from three, you're hopefully not scoring the rest of them from the mid-range, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to that point of, like, the rebounds and points in the paint, like, Billy Donovan said before the game that the main challenge with this Knicks team is, like, containing their bigs. I mean, Julius Randle, he's so strong and can get to the rim. So can Bobby Portis, and then Mitchell Robinson, who they had back tonight. Still young, but a good rebounder and a good post player, so... That was basically the only key, because you look at their guards like RJ Barrett, Frank Nicotina, Elfrid Payton, Kevin Knox is sort of a guard slash forward, but they just don't have a lot of shooting. I mean, we already talked about the number. So if you can sort of hang with them in the paint, then it's not going to be good.
And just tonight was just a game.
It was just not good for the Knicks. Oh, gosh. I actually left my seat a little early because it was my first time at Madison Square Garden. And oh, no. You sit you sit up high.
Yeah.
And so it takes a little bit to get down to where the interviews are going to be. And I was just a little nervous, like, oh man, I don't want to get lost and miss those. But apparently I missed like extremely loud chants of sell the team, which Knicks have been chanting because of James Dolan. But apparently tonight they were louder than usual.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't hear him on the broadcast.
Okay, that's interesting.
Or maybe I was just not really paying attention to it.
Probably just turned it off. we're talking about, or, you know, some other guys were talking about, like, I wonder if they could hear it on TV. Because they said in the arena they were actually turning, like, the volume of the music like up during the chants to sort of drown them out.
Oh my
which
God.
Is crazy.
That's why. Well, yeah, tell us more about the whole atmosphere. Obviously Madison Square Garden is just an incredible place.
Yeah, I mean it is incredible, and you've got it's a drastic change coming from Detroit. Detroit's arena, which I talked about, is fantastic and brand new and sparkly and everything. This is Madison Square Garden. It's like, it's got that old feel, and it just feels historic right when you walk in. So that was very cool. And then to also know you're walking into a place that's like, so many people are upset about the organization, about the owner, about the players.
Did you go through the right entrance?
I did. I went through the infamous media entrance that apparently some people shouldn't go through. But yeah, it's also incredible, though, that they still pack that place.
Yeah.
And I know they had attendance problems in the last game because it was basically a strike in response to all the Spike Lee fiasco. So, but tonight it was a good crowd. And kind of the rumors, not rumors, a report that the Knicks are gathering intel on Chris Paul, which I will say this, all teams gather intel on all players, yeah. I think is safe to say. So, but that was put out there by Frank Isola. It becomes big news. And therefore the New York media swarms Chris Paul. And I luckily got a front row spot to that. They pulled him out of the locker room into the hallway just because there's so many people waiting to talk to him. So this night was really about Chris Paul.
Well, and then fueling that too, I'm sure, is that their new president is Leon Rose, who, as we've mentioned on this podcast, I think we have, maybe we've at least mentioned in our stories.
I think we did. Yeah. I don't know. Let's discuss it.
Chris Paul's former agent. So yeah, I mean, what did he say about those reports and being in New York and Leon Rose?
Okay, I'll go a little bit in chronological order here, because this was the first game Chris Paul has played at Madison Square Garden in a few years. Since he played with the Rockets, Western Conference team only goes there once a year. He was injured during both of those games. So he said afterward that he really likes playing here. And, you know this, like everywhere Chris Paul goes on the road, he gets booed. It doesn't matter if he has like a rocky relationship with that particular team or city. It's just like, okay, he's a superstar. We're going to boo him because he probably did something
along the way where it was like,
did something, or they don't like that he always argues with the refs or stuff like that.
Shirts and things.
Yeah, so tonight was different because Knicks fans were cheering for him. It wasn't super loud at first, but then he had a ton of flashy plays, like between the leg passes, behind the back passes, a deep three-pointer in that fourth quarter to start a 13-0 run in that fourth over Mitchell Robinson. And you could like really feel the energy that they were like cheering for Chris Paul. I don't know if it was because of the report linking him to the Knicks, or if, you know, New York basketball fans are so pure that they will cheer for good basketball, which might be the case.
But we heard
it was interesting.
That definitely does happen, which is just like a fascinating thing that, like, obviously they're going to pull for the Knicks. But even last year when, you know, no one on the Thunder was rumored to be going to the Knicks, they cheered for good basketball and chanted to put Raymond Felton in.
Yeah, you gotta love that. They also seem to still like Gallinari, who, you know, only played here for a few years, but started his career with the Knicks. But back to Paul. So after the game, everyone's gathered around him, and, you know, he sort of gets eased into it. I ask him about what was it like to be cheered, and he, you know, was pretty funny about that. And then he was asked, have you ever imagined yourself playing for the Knicks? And he said, I imagine playing in Boston on Sunday. And which
is,
I thought,
who
was
the Thunder's playing, suddenly had a panic attack about him going to the Celtics. He's talking about with the Thunder.
Yeah, and he was so quick in saying that. I don't know if he had it like, he couldn't have had it prepared.
He expected it was coming.
I bet he expected it, but the way he played off like imagine was really good. And it was the right response. And then he talked about how the only thing he's thinking about are his kids and not being able to see them and stuff like that. But then he got into wearing a message on his sneakers that said, do the right thing. And it was in response to Spike Lee, who he's apparently pretty close with. And he said he was looking forward to seeing Spike and wasn't able to do that.
You guys all know that Do the Right Thing is a famous Spike Lee movie. If not, now you know.
Yeah, there you go. So, and then he was also asked about Leon Rose, who we mentioned that was his former longtime agent. And he wasn't getting emotional as he said it, but he said he gets emotional even talking about it because he's so close with Leon, and they talked before the game. And Chris said that was the first time they've really talked since the announcement officially came on Monday. So I think that's why the report holds a little more water. I mean, you can at least see it because of his relationship with Leon Rose, but still, like, I mean, there's a big contract attached to Chris Paul's name. Yeah. So it's not like can't imagine him like forcing his way to the Knicks. Like, who does that?
There's a huge jump between, how do you phrase it? Gathering intel and actually pursuing a player.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, gathering intel, like, hopefully other teams are gathering intel about other teams' players, because that would probably be the smart thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously it would help the Thunder's financial situation if they were to find a place to trade Chris Paul, but
yeah, I mean, obviously you've got to make the money work, but if the Knicks really wanted to part with one of their young pieces, I'm sure it would be something that the Thunder would definitely explore. But
or a pick, because you know those are going to be good picks for the next few years.
Getting into Chris Paul's mind is a tricky thing, but just having covered him for this season, like, yes, New York is wonderful and playing in that building, but still, like, I think things would have to change pretty drastically under Leon Rose's watch, and I don't know if that's possible. James Dolan's still there, but Chris Paul likes to win more than anything, I think. So they'd have to have other pieces in place.
Yeah. Well, he also came to Oklahoma City and just by sheer will made them win. So
yeah, maybe he would just start winning.
Maybe, you know? Leon Rose, Chris Paul is the duo that New York has been waiting for all these years.
Yeah, Chris has the magic touch. Is he's passing them the ball, they suddenly start making threes. If that happens, then watch out.
Have we touched on his game yet besides the assists? He had 22 points.
Yeah. And
that little, or 21? Wait.
21 points.
21 points. Gallo had 22.
Yeah, and he didn't play, you know, I think he subbed out with around 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So he did all of that in about 30 minutes. And, yeah, I mean, I thought he was the Thunder's best player tonight, just the way he was setting up his teammates. Gallinari was the Thunder's leading scorer, but he has Chris Paul to thank for setting him up on the perimeter. And, yeah, I mean, he... I don't know, like, just being there, you could see that, you know, he, it's almost like he could hear like people like oohing and aahing when he would do like cool stuff, and he kept doing cool stuff, and he ended up playing a great game.
Just keep doing cool stuff. Another guy who did cool stuff was
cool stuff.
Another guy who was having somewhat of a homecoming, more of a homecoming than Gallinari was, Hamidou Diallo, who grew up in New York, reps Queens in his neighborhood there, and he hit his first three since mid-January. He had some fantastic dunks. Like, what was the feeling after? I think he had like two on close together, back-to-back possessions.
Yeah. Yeah, people, you know, Hamidou Diallo is and was a big deal in New York, especially for his slam dunks and obviously winning the slam dunk contest last year. And people love those dunks. Like, he's still really popular in this area. A lot of people were talking to him outside of the locker room. And both of them were perfect because they were breakaway opportunities where he didn't have to worry about anyone catching him. And it wasn't necessarily like the moves of the dunk, but just the ferocity in which he dunked the ball. Like, the Knicks have microphones on their rims, so you can hear like the swishes and the dunks, which is pretty cool. And those were quite loud.
That's awesome. Yeah. So getting back to... Well, he shot better than the Knicks did.
Yeah, and he was 5 of 8 tonight, 12 points.
He played well.
He played 25 and a half minutes after not playing a single second at Detroit. So Billy didn't really explain why. He said he liked, I think part of it was like a size matchup, sure. But I don't really know what else. I mean, it's pretty drastic to go from not playing to playing 25 minutes. But like we keep talking about, the wing rotation changes by the game. So tonight was about Hamidou Diallo. And if you're going to have kind of a breakout game to get you out of a slump where you're not playing, to do it near your home is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I remember being in New York last year and seeing him just like really pressing too much. And so it was nice to see him just playing freely and have a couple big dunks and a three. Like, not much more you can ask for him from him for in terms of an offensive performance. We had little more. It's a very news-filled day, really very news-filled evening, and it kind of just gets more and more bleak after the like Nick stuff was fun-ish, and then you move on to the coronavirus, which there's been reports about what the league is recommending in terms of like, hey, let's do fist bumps instead of high fives to fans, and let's do, you know, like, maybe don't take a ball from a fan to sign it, maybe use your own pen, but sort of just recommendations sort of things. And then this evening, both Shams and Mark Stein reporting that the NBA has told teams to start developing contingency plans in case, quote, it were to become necessary to play a game with only essential staff present, which would mean no fans or media. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Like, I don't know what that would look like or how we'd handle that.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the NBA telling teams to prepare for the worst case scenario. Not
that it's maybe, coming.
Maybe that doesn't, maybe, yeah, not that like start making plans now, but I mean, yeah, start making plans in case like the worst case scenario happens. So, but just to get, you know, I have Twitter alerts set up for those guys, and you know, just to see that pop up, it's like, oh wow. Like if that happens, I don't know if it has precedent. Like in the NBA, I know some like soccer teams in Europe have done similar things where they're playing in front of no people, but gosh, that would just, it'd have a huge economic impact.
Yeah.
It'd have a huge impact on the fans. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It'd be terrible.
Yeah. And obviously worse things would be going on around us if we got to that point in terms of just the number of people who would be affected. And you know, you'd assume that the death toll would be rising at that point. So hopefully we can get this thing under control. Wash your hands, everybody. Don't touch your face. And don't panic. From everything I've read, it's, you know, obviously it's never good when something's, when you have death associated with any illness, but it's not the most deadly thing we've seen. Obviously, really scary thing for anyone who's at risk. But yeah, let's just be smart and take care of one another.
Yeah, and I don't know how exactly I phrased whatever I just said, but as far as it'd be terrible to not like be there and have fans there, clearly there'd be much worse things. And if that's the best thing, then it'd be great. Like if people need to stay away from large crowds to stay healthy, then that absolutely should happen. Just, I'm not sure.
You're right. I mean, like, it would be a really bizarre thing, and it would be a really, really bad sign about as to, like, at what stage we are in this, you know, potential pandemic.
Just to give everyone a little bit of a laugh in a pretty dark situation, Stephen Adams was asked about what he's doing differently in the wake of the coronavirus. And, you know, I realize it's not a thing to laugh about, like, that goes without saying. But he was like, you know, what one good thing is, like, people are now washing their hands after they use the bathroom. Can, like, something along the lines of, some people weren't doing that. So I think it's good, which is a good point. Like, please wash your hands.
And
this has brought everyone good hand washing practice, I guess.
And if this is what it took to get you to start washing your hands after going to the bathroom, please don't stop after this is all over. Please keep doing that.
You're only washing your hands now because of a global health scare? I mean, come on.
Right. In other... Sorry, now that you've lightened the mood, I'm going to take it back down, but shift. The Thunder and the Knicks kind of partnered together to honor the first responders for both the Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11. Can you describe what that ceremony was like and what it was like to be in the room for that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a special moment, and obviously two of the worst days imaginable because of those attacks. But just to see, it was uplifting to be in the arena because everyone was going crazy for those first responders and giving them and their families and those who died because of the attacks just a huge round of applause. And I found it, you know, enlightening. Maybe I should have known this, but there's so many first responders from New York who came to Oklahoma City in 1995 to help out in the aftermath of the Oklahoma City bombing.
I realized that either.
Yeah, who then obviously were first responders on 9/11. So there's a connection between the two cities because of that, and then to see a lot of them in the same room, and the Thunder doing its part by wearing their city uniforms for the first time on the road. It was all pretty cool. Like the whole theme of the night was first responders night. So at different timeouts, they were doing different things to to honor local first responders, which was really a nice gesture.
Neat. Well, a reminder to everyone in Oklahoma City or who may be in Oklahoma City sometime this year, the Thunder is doing, they are essentially covering the admission price. So you can go once a month. So you can go on the 25th of any month this year for the 25-year anniversary and go to the museum for free. And it is, if you haven't been, it's an incredibly moving experience. So be ready. Wear your waterproof mascara if you're going to put on any makeup. And it's really heart-wrenching, but really well done.
Yeah, I second that thought. It's a wonderful museum that everyone should go to. And, yeah, just to have them honored tonight was pretty cool. You know, props to the Knicks organization for putting that together. And there was a lot of first responders from Oklahoma at the game tonight. So, yeah, definitely probably the coolest part of the night.
Very neat. Anything else you want to add? This has been like the most, I think we've touched on the most topics in the shortest amount of time in this podcast. Geez. We're just rattling one off after another.
Maybe we should hold on in case like news breaks in the next like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, probably will.
We shouldn't do that. But if it does, we will definitely cover it on the next podcast.
Thunder's playing Boston next.
Yeah. That'll Sunday, 5 o'clock start, I think. I hope I'm getting that right, but kind of a strange start time. 5 o'clock local. Local being Oklahoma Central Time. Holy cow, I can't get this right.
Nailed it.
But yeah. Our local. Look for, I'll just plug a future story here. There's kind of a cool connection between a Boston area high school basketball legend, basically, and Sam Presti. And I talked to those guys about that. So look forward to it.
Definitely read it. I think this is the story that I've been most looking forward to reading all year. No pressure, Joe, as you finish up tomorrow. But as soon as you pitched the idea, I was so stoked to read it. And it's been a long time coming. So definitely go read that. And yeah. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your neighbors, your pets, your people who are interested in Boston high school legends.
Yes, good one.
And we will see you on days
Sunday.
You just said
that.
Wash your hands. You legitimately just said that. We'll see you on Sunday after the Boston game. And like Joe said, wash your hands.